finding the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazine. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen. But it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Hour two of the National Intel Report on, the High Satanist Day, folks. Going to send your little kids out there in their costumes, dressed up like a little boogeyman. I don't know where you're at in this country, but down here in Texas, they're giving the public fool children the day off to celebrate, that's right, what's become to them a national holiday. Woo-hoo. We'll get into this story a little bit more here. The commission talking about... Talking about what's on the television nowadays. Boy, what a wonderful medium, folks, but look what it's being used for. Ultraviolet atrocities saturate pop culture. The commission says it doesn't normally track violence complaints. Senator John Dee, well, that's right, we know him as Jay Rockefeller, has introduced a bill that would give the FCC jurisdiction over egregiously violent displays. There is no question, he says, that violence in television programming continues to dramatically increase, he wrote in an email. More and more broadcasters are looking for ways to increase ratings, and unfortunately, increasing violent content seems to be their answer. Well, here's my question to Mr. Rockefeller. Do you think your intervention in television is going to help? Look what you've done with the rest of the country. Until now, politicians have focused most of their rhetoric and concern about media violence on video games because of the youth appeal. In this era of Xbox in every kid's bedroom, these kill-em-all games have set a new standard for graphic and casually cruel violence. But you see, it's just a game. Mm-hmm. Now, combined with that, increasingly cutthroat movies, DVDs, and TV shows, and it's clear that today's young people are being exposed to unprecedented levels of violence. Now, the author of the story says that scares the hell out of us. Now, what effect does all the savagery have on the audience? It makes us all fearful, said Scott Pullen, a psychology professor at Nova Southeastern University, administrator of the National Task Force. He has responded to 11 school shooting cases, including Columbine and Paducah. We'd all like to believe that man is basically good, but with all that crime and violence depicted, it gets harder and harder to hold on to that viewpoint. Well, I wonder if Mr. Scott Pullen discovered that the kids out of Columbine were taking antidepressants. I wonder if they recognize that. One of the popular entertainment media's glaring distortions is a grossly exaggerated incidence of serial killing. Now, if you judge by books, TV, and movies, about one out of every three people is a budding Ted Bundy. The fiends figure prominently in primetime shows from CBS Cold Case to ABC's Night Stalker, and in the coming two-part crossover episode of the New York and Miami franchises of CSI. That scares the hell out of us. The idea of being killed randomly by someone we don't even know, Poland says, that doesn't fit the real pattern of violence in America, where serial killers are exceedingly rare. But it sells books. People in the TV industry maintain that this season is merely business as usual. When I was a kid, there was violence on TV, and then there's violence now, said Nick Santora, a writer-producer for Fox's Prison Break. In fact, it's less gratuitous now. Physical confrontations are story-driven. They're not there for shock value. But he says that TV producers are operating without clear limits for violence. The standards are so ambiguous as not to give you much of a guideline. So often you go by instinct, he said. The TV and film industries are self-governed through content rating systems, and those classifications tend to be vague and inconsistent. Now, it's important for people to realize that ratings have crept over time, said Kimberly Thompson, director of Kids Risk Project at Harvard University's School of Public Health. I'll tell you what she says about this issue right after this break. 800-313-9443 will take calls this hour. We shall be right back. Stay tuned.
Gano Cafe is the new energy drink that is sweeping the globe. Already a number one beverage in Asia, Gano Cafe is the new energy drink for coffee, tea, and cocoa lovers. What makes Gano Cafe special is the secret ingredient, reishi, a concentration of six species of red mushroom, also known as the miraculous king of herbs. Known for its high nutritional value, reishi packs a bigger punch than ginseng. One packet of Gano Cafe is the energy equivalent of a whole pot of coffee. All natural Gano Cafe tastes great and is a drug-free alternative for optimal health and longevity, with several delicious varieties, including mocha, hot cocoa, and the Brazilian coffee classic. You can experience Gano Cafe for yourself. Find out what people around the world are drinking for energy and how they meet the demands of a busy day in a natural and healthy way. Try Gano Cafe today. Visit www.gethealthyoncoffee.com or call 888-784-0718. Call now and receive a free gift with your first order. Again, that is 888-784-0718.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions, and there are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Eliminate the cause. Don't just treat the symptoms. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call Alternative Technologies toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. One more time. That's 866-885-6625.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Kimberly Thompson, the director of Kids Risk Project at Harvard University School of Public Health, says, looking at films over an 11-year period, we showed that ratings crept so much they moved almost a full category. Today's PG-13 movie is like an R-rated film of 10 years ago. I didn't read this part of this article, but that's what I just said, 10 minutes ago. Now, made for consumption, many film historians hold that series directors are immune to the siren song of violence. Look at the box office ratings in the last 10 years, in which only the big money maker that drew an R rating for the reliance on graphic gore was The Passion of the Christ, wrote Michael Medved, the film critic and nationally syndicated radio host, in an email. This year, the most obnoxiously sadistic films, The Devil's Rejects and just released Domino, both open to lukewarm business. But although obviously lurid movies such as The Devil Rejects aren't date films, they enjoy healthy afterlives. and that's right, the blockbusters and the Hollywood videos of the world. We are in a cycle during which horror films, particularly violent movies like Saw, are selling unusually well on home video. Scott Hetrick, editor of the trade magazine DVD Exclusive, wrote by email, Saw earned more than $90 million so far on video, nearly 65% more than it took in the U.S. box offices. And more Hollywood projects are based on hardcore sources. Producers and writers are wary of pushing that content envelope, as they say. Now, the films Sin City and A History of Violence, both critically lauded, were adapted from gritty graphic novels. The Resident Evil films and the new Doom are recreations of violent video games. Other movies, such as Dawn of the Dead, with its incessant skull-splattering shots, just look like first-person shooter games. Now, how far will this trend toward ultra-violence go? The only logical answer is farther. Only artistic boundaries of taste or restraint have been crossed. They are rarely reinstated. Now, we might think we might have to resign ourselves, rather, to the entertainment climate described by Mandy Patinkin's character in a recent episode of Criminal Minds. Finding new ways to hurt each other is what we're good at. Oh, let's take some calls here. I'll let that one go without comment. Jim in Arizona. Hello, Jim.
Yeah, hi. How you doing?
Good.
You know, Jeremiah 17:9 says that the human heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. And Pogo, in the Funny Papers, once said, we have met the enemy, and he is us.
Well, and if you want to, and human beings have a dark side. It has always been with us, but we have a good side.
Yes.
But if you're going to pander to that dark side, what do you think you're going to see more of?
You're going to see more filth on television.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. And we're to the point now where I'm 61 years old. My favorite show is Leave It to Beaver.
You know, it's funny you should mention that because I just watched an episode last night. I was thumbing through the television things. I had a little time, and I'm looking at shows, and there's more gore and more graphic stuff and more sex. So I tuned over to Leave It to Beaver. I watch old reruns of Dick Van Dyke or I Love Lucy or something like that. I mean, rather than watch this because, I mean, and a lot of people are not considering what effect this does have on children. To them, see, this is just normal stuff.
Yeah.
You know, if it's on TV, you know, everybody's watching, it's just normal.
Yeah, that's what they think.
Well, that's what they think.
But, you know, I'm a born-again Christian, and I fault the born-again Christians for a lot of things. If we hadn't been sitting on our fat, lazy butts in church when Madeline Murray O'Hare was driving prayer out of school, it wouldn't be out of school.
Well, and come to present day, I mean, where are the Pat Robertsons that have an immense amount of influence and power? Where are the TV evangelists climbing all over these television shows and their producers and the networks? Where is their voice?
Yeah.
They think they're going to be banished from TV because they're knocking television, which they're on?
Well, they're part of the problem. We're part of the problem.
I understand.
We are the problem. You know, Pat Robertson's, I heard on shortwave today that he's a Mason. Maybe that's why he doesn't have anything good to say about
well,
the right things.
And his lauded TV show, The 700 Club, he stole that from Jim Baker.
Yeah.
You know,
Yeah,
the moral majority guy, what's his name?
I can't even remember.
I'll think of it here in a second. He rode into the rescue, supposedly, for the ministries. You know, and I'm watching Jim Baker, I mean, back in the 80s.
Yeah.
I'm watching this guy build Six Flags Over Jesus, you know, where he's building condominiums and recreational and theme parks and all this stuff. And I'm looking at this guy and I'm going, what the heck is going on?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm laughing, but it isn't funny.
No, it really isn't. But it's the state of Christendom here in this country.
Yeah.
What are they willing to settle for? And who are their champions? Who are their heroes? Who are the people they're going to back? Well, I'll tell you what they're going to do. You just said it earlier. They're going to sit on their fat little duffs in church, fold their hands, pray to God, and then walk out of that church as if they're absolved somehow from the society they live in.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they're
going
to do.
I'll tell you what I'm doing this next week. I'm going to street preaching school. That's what I am. I'm a street preacher because the lost people aren't going to church, and the people that are in church aren't going out to reach the lost anymore. They're just sitting on their duffs, as you said. You were more polite than me. I appreciate that. But they're not doing anything. they're going to church and, like you say, folding their hands and, oh, you know, let somebody else take care of it. Let President Bush take care of it. He's a wonderful born-again Christian.
I would much rather on a hot summer's day walk into a tent revival than walk into one of these glass palaces.
I would, too.
All right. And
we need more tent meetings, and we need more street preachers. We need to start getting to the truth and stop waiting for somebody else to do it.
Yeah, there it is. You just hit it, right? Stand up and do it yourself. Well, be careful. You know, be careful where you're preaching, because it may be prohibited by law.
I'm sure it is.
God may be prohibited.
and we're laughing, sir, but yeah. that's what this country has come to. I'm a peg leg. I only have one leg, and I have to walk around on a walker. But I'm waiting for somebody to body slam me into the ground for preaching on the street. Maybe they will. I'm not afraid of it.
I don't know. Maybe this is what the good Lord's waiting for his people to say, okay. You know, it fascinates me. You know, you bring up this subject. I'm of the opinion that God's sitting upstairs right now with his arm folded, going, "What are you waiting for?
Yeah.
I've given you everything. I've given you free choice. I've given you the word. What are you waiting for?"
Yeah. Well, I was telling my cousin that I was a street preacher, and he said, "Aren't you afraid?" I said, "You bet your life I'm afraid. I'm afraid of God. Well, I'm afraid of these idiots that are going to put me in jail. What, you know, God will take care of me.
There you go.
I'm not afraid of them. I'm not afraid of anything except God."
Well, hopefully this will be a start of the new Christianity in America, where it marries courage with the word.
Well, it would be nice.
Yeah, it would.
But I think we're going to wait a while.
All right.
You know, I don't expect that I'm going to be able to start a revival, but I'm going to sure try.
Hey, who knows? How many people did God pick on that wouldn't be on the surface your choice for a candidate?
Yeah.
You know, so you never know.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks a lot. Appreciate your call.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Jim. Bye-bye. Clay in New Mexico. Hello, Clay.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you today?
Good, sir.
I caught the first part, actually, I've caught the whole program. As I recall, way back when, it's not that long ago, but one thing that I do appreciate about what you do when you come on the air is when people have left your network, you do give an explanation, and I recall that occurring on more than one occasion.
Well, the other occasion I think of which you spoke, the reason I did it is because I introduced him to the Patriot Movement, and since I've done my little expose, it turns out that the guy was a lot nastier than what I even perceived him as, and I have to assume a certain responsibility for that. See, not a lot of people, they don't think of it. They think of it this way, Clay. They're listening to a radio, they're listening to talk show, they might be listening to a network, whatever the case may be. And it never dawns on them what it's like to be at the other side of this. So without going into any detail about that, it is my prerogative. And I guess here's the bottom line. Do people trust me and my judgment and to make the best programming available to the public out there, or do they not? Do they want to, how did I say this before, pick fly crap out of the sugar bowl? You know,
I suppose if they want to take that much time to do that, then there's probably not going to be a way to stop them from doing that, and they're probably not worth the time to try to stop from doing that. But as I recall, you've pretty well explained most everything that you've done, and I, for one, appreciate that, because there are many times when people get used to listening to a certain program and certain presentations, and then all of a sudden that host or that guest that's been on quite a bit no longer is there.
Yeah.
And as the best I recall, you don't leave people hanging. You go ahead and explain it, and that's one thing that I like about listening to RBN. You do that. So I believe you did that in this case, and I don't think that fellow is correct. But
well, and everybody's, you know, it's like belly buttons. Everybody's got one. Everybody's got an opinion. But, you know, without going through a lot of sordid detail and history and fact and doing all this stuff, you know, I'm not going to turn this into a high school debate. You know, either people trust me that I'm doing the thing that is going to benefit this network and eventually everybody involved in it, or they're not. And if they think that way, they're more than entitled to tune to another radio program or another network, for that fact. Hey, hold on a second. We got to take the break. Bill, Richard, Greg, Dennis, Ron, and Leon, all of you guys, just hang on. We'll be right back.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Pain medication can't heal the cause of your pain. But what if the pain is so great as to make it unbearable without it? Listen to the results of one 44-year-old man.
My name is John Frey. I have fibromyalgia and was taking 12 to 14 Ultram tablets a day just to try to stay pain-free. I also had headaches, which would incapacitate me. I also had severe allergies and was dealing with arthritis, which set in after two compression fractures. After just 3 weeks on Cocoon GH, I noticed my pain was gone, and I no longer needed to take the Ultram anymore. My headaches disappeared, and my allergies are virtually gone. My energy level has increased, and I feel better today than I have in 15 years. My graying hair has also started to darken, and a bald spot on my head has started to grow hair again. My wife got on Cocoon GH, and after only 8 days, a lower back pain that she had suffered with for 14 years has gone away permanently. She no longer takes Celebrex. Thanks for such a wonderful product.
Satisfaction guaranteed. Call 888-988-6833. That's 888-988-6833.
This is Christine with another Bring 'Em Home message. Have we as Americans had enough yet? With the recent crisis in New Orleans and the southern Gulf Coast, death and destruction have been visited upon Americans once again. The government's response has been to bring foreign troops onto America's land. Federal and foreign troops now control the region, while the National Guardsmen are away, entangled in foreign wars, unable to protect their homes and families. The New World Order has reached its long-planned objective, to secure American troops on foreign soil and foreign troops on American soil. Let's get these foreign troops out and bring our American troops home now. Help us make the public aware of this dire situation by displaying on your cars our Bring 'Em Home magnetic ribbons or our new Bring 'Em Home bumper stickers. To place your orders, call 877-605-9200 or go to rbnlive.com or bringemhome.org.
Clay in New Mexico. What?
John, I just wanted to mention a couple of other things. One thing is that for many, many years, it seems like the television that's been offered that most people watch is a vast wasteland. I mean, I can remember 25, even 30 years ago, and more than that, talking with people about television, and at that time they were calling it a vast wasteland. So I don't really think that it's changed that much. It has become more violent.
Well, I think it probably better classified as being entertainment. And I never necessarily looked at entertainment as being necessarily bad, but as this progression of television. I mean, this is one of the, you know, two things technologically impressed me. One was the telephone, that almost the entire planet's wired up to, that the fact that you can pick up a telephone and if somebody has their little instrument and their own little number on the other end, that you can pick them up and talk to them in real time. You know, they've tried to redo this on the Internet, but we've got broadband issues and buffering and all this other stuff. It doesn't work real well. But the other medium is television. Not only do you have pictures, but you also have accompanying sound, which is a very, very, very powerful medium. And it's been basically used for entertainment, but more and more it's being used for propaganda. And yeah. and it's very dangerous. I mean, when television first came around, I read a lot of articles and read books about what people thought about it. And, you know, it was a wonderful medium, and they were discussing how it could be used to educate people and all these other things. And then as television progressed and the people that wanted to drive the almighty dollar for profit got in there and then started creating. I mean, literally, I mean, do you think that this country would be the way that it is? Do you think Wall Street would be as powerful as it is? Or do you think the people that the designers and all these fashion people, I mean, take a look at what this industry has driven and how much of it, when you boil it all down, is worth the powder to blow it up with. I mean, we have turned literally into a pop culture. If it's on television, everybody's doing it.
Well, there's a good deal of truth in that, and television does seem to be the medium that one chooses if they want to get a message across or sell a product.
There you go.
And but now, they do have some very good programs on, like, cable and satellite, you know, the History Channel, Discovery Channel, but you never know exactly for sure what you're getting with those things. But
I was just going to say,
very interesting things.
Watch for the history revisionists that have caught a hold of History Channel, and I've seen some pretty amazing things. I used to watch History Channel, watch all of that stuff. Anything that was educational, I would watch, but since my knowledge base has increased, I can sit there and watch them just take history and run it right down the old rabbit hole. And they're reinventing history as we go along here.
Well, that's a very unfortunate development.
It is.
I did want to say one more thing. I did have a little bit of time over the weekend, which doesn't happen a lot, but I wanted to take an opportunity to congratulate you and Sandra and everybody else there for the network that you have put together. It's just extremely educational for me, and also the website. The website, if somebody sits down and takes the time to look at all of the things that you have on your website, it can be entertaining as well as very educational. So you have just done a tremendous job in a very short period of time, and I know in listening to you, you can tell once in a while it's been stressful, but that's okay. I mean, from my perspective, it's for you, it's worth it. It's just worth everything that you've done.
Well, I appreciate those kind words, and I thank you.
I would encourage everybody to just sit down and look at your website as much as they possibly can.
All right. Well, thanks for your call, Clay. I appreciate it. Yeah, folks, that was unsolicited. I didn't call Clay up earlier in the day and say, get on the network and say good things. Folks, we're doing the best job that we know how to do, and there's much more that we can be doing. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, well, why is it hard to believe? I mean, just take a look at our world, our country, what's going on around us, and tell me that a medium such as this cannot grow and have a real effect. I mean, for nothing else, you know, in radio itself, to have people, instead of listening to Rush Limbaugh and truly 3 hours of entertainment, you know, the Project for a New American Century cheerleader here and in his cohort, you know, on another network. I mean, folks, either we're going to try to get this country back and do it the sane, civilized way, or what's the point? If it's not going to be supported and to help it grow, then it's just an exercise in futility. And I am not one to waste much time on futility at all. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions, and there are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Eliminate the cause. Don't just treat the symptoms. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call Alternative Technologies toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. One more time. That's 866-885-6625.
Would you like to have an income regardless of the economic situation, which few trade people have considered? The art of knife sharpening is a skill that will never disappear and will always be in demand. Whether you have a place of business and just want to add to your income, or would like to travel servicing restaurants, barbershops, or a variety of businesses in need of sharpening tools, you're always guaranteed an income with repetitive business. Learn how to become a successful grindsman. It's easy to learn with our portable Grambo sharpening system. Travel anywhere you desire. Purchase the training manual for only $30, and it'll be applied toward your purchase of the Grambo sharpening system. America has become a service-oriented rather than a manufacturing or even high-tech economy. Take advantage of the situation and become a professional grindsman. It's easy to learn. Start on a shoestring with the overwhelming amount of business out there. Now is the best time to start. Call today for more information. You can enjoy the good life. Call now, 512-297-3152. That's 512-297-3152.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
I want to get through these calls here, and Bush speak, dark and garbled words. John Chuckman does an expose here of Bush's speech on October 6th. I'm going to get to that also. Bill in Texas. Hello, Bill.
John, I'll keep it real short. I gave up television 10 years ago. And right now I'm living on solar down here on the border, and with the Katrina thing, I thought, well, I better find out what's going on. So I went back in my storage shed and dug out an old 12-volt black and white. And I'm picking up the neighbor's Channel 14, which is Fox News.
Uh-huh.
And I watched Katrina, and I tried for a few days to watch something else, and it was just empty chatter. And so now I turned on about an hour a morning to get the stock market quotes. And the rest of the day stays off.
There's not much there. What content? I mean, it's just frivolous, you know, just banter.
It's chatter.
Mm-hmm.
It's chatter, banter between the people that are sitting there at the desk. They're not saying anything. You're just battering each other, either apart. And can I make a plug for Pete Peters up there at LaPorte? He's doing a good job of preaching the truth now.
And he wasn't before?
Well, he's been preaching it all the time, but, I mean, he's one of the only guys I'm listening to right now on shortwave.
Okay.
And he gets in there and tells it like it is. And I grew up under the old Hellfire and Damnation Baptist preachers, you know. And, man, when you walked out of that church, you were scared that you was going to go to hell. And that's what we need to get back on instead of this love and prosperity message that they're all preaching.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I just love the things where people say that you repeat this prayer. You've seen them in newspapers, whatever,
mm-hmm.
that the Lord will bless you financially. You know, I mean, and I look at this and I go, you know, I don't think God's really involved in your financial affairs. And
He is if you live the word.
Yeah, but by saying a prayer, and you have to pass this prayer off, and it's kind of like one of these little chain letter type things.
No. Prayers don't get it. You've got to live the word because he's going to bless you if you live the word. Or if you try every way you can to live the word, and I mean the Ten Commandments and all the old assignments in the Old Testament, if you try your best to live those, you will get blessed. The thrift and everything else that the Old Testament taught, you will get blessed. But getting back to the gore and sex thing, that's the 13 or 14 year old mentality that we have in the world today in the United States.
And I got to say something else. Once exposed to that at a young age, it never leaves you. Never.
That's right. But that mentality is what we're fighting right now. And I get tourists through here from different parts of the world, and they will sit down and talk about how dumb the Americans are, how stupid we are. And their education is beyond that 13 or 14th year old, and we're stuck there.
Yeah.
But that's exactly what's wrong with it. And, hey, I'll get off here and let you go on to somebody else, but that just...
All right, Bill, I appreciate the call.
Hey, have a good one.
All right, thanks. Richard in Nebraska. Hello, Richard.
Yes, several callers, about two callers back, you mentioned about the History Channel and how good it was up to, and all, and I just... That sort of coincided with what I was talking, because I ran across it last night about where they were talking about the plague,
mm-hmm.
last night on the History Channel from about 8 to 10. And then they had a follow-up as far as it's sort of like they were trying to dumb us down to the fact of another plague actually now hitting the United States. And that sort of outraged me quite a bit, because here they sort of glorified the fact of the original plague by saying that because of so many people dying, it made it possible for people to have more food to eat, since there wasn't that many people to feed, and since all the people that were 50% or more died, they had more land to eat, to have for themselves.
And now marry that with the people that want to eliminate 75% of the Earth's population right now.
I thought that was the perfect what you call venue,
mm-hmm.
for to work on this, because I saw on the History Channel 20 years ago where they had it about the plague, and it was completely different. It was more factual,
yeah.
and accurate, and as it just pertained to that era.
Now what you're seeing is more of an agenda. You know,
yep.
I mean, you're now seeing across the spectrum, and I don't care if it's History Channel, I don't care what it is, all of a sudden global warming without any actual debate on the subject itself. Many people contend that, wait a minute, this is not global warming. We may be going back into another ice age, which occurs on this Earth about every 85 to 90,000 years.
Yep.
That we may be seeing the weather turn a little bit wacky here because we might be heading back into an ice age. But global warming across the dial has accepted this as being scientific fact, and that's what they're constantly pushing.
Oh, boy, it'll be too late for them to eat their words when it does hit, as far as that, when we do get hit, that ice age does hit.
Well, if it's like the last one, I mean, it helped create the Great Lakes. I mean, maybe we'll have five lakes down here in Texas next time. Hey, thanks for your call, Richard.
Okay, bye.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye. Greg in Iowa. Hello, Greg.
John.
Yes.
Well, question one, what frequency did you say you're changing over to?
It'll be, the second hour will be 5.050.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh.
And I sent that, my eight-page treatise to you today, and it has the big letters Greg on it. You can't miss it.
Okay.
It's a 5x8 envelope. It's an odd-shaped envelope.
Okay.
So you're not going to miss it. It's in felt tip, and that'll be there probably Wednesday or Thursday, and I hope it does you some good, and I hope you learn a little from it. And I've got my phone number on it if you need to ask any questions.
Real good, Greg. I appreciate that.
And then I got one last thing. right. You can hear WWL out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, pretty much all over the United States, a good distance. They claim 40 states, but that isn't. I don't think that's true. But it is a very, right now, a very, very educational call-in talk show, which tells exactly what's going on down there, all the difficulties, the lack of insurance coverage, the FEMA regulations that they have to raise their houses 12, 15 feet off the present elevation on stilts in order to build it again.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable things that they're being told they have to do.
And what is the radio station again?
It's WWL, and it's 870 on the AM dial, and usually not very good in the early evening, but as the 07 or 8 o'clock Central Time, it really starts coming in.
Right.
And it goes all night, and you are going to get an education because you know how we've been told that we look to government for our security?
Right.
Well, there's a classic model of what happens when people look to government for their security. If you were to talk to any of those people in Louisiana, I'm sure they'll tell you that they've been left naked in all departments. They're literally out to fend for themselves, and when they try to fend for themselves, they run right into a regulation that says they either have to pay money to get a permit,
right,
or you can't do it at all.
Well, and also, you know, you have to look at the government's role in this thing. You know, where in the Constitution does it say we get government giveaways for disaster relief?
Exactly. Well, what has happened is we bought into a lot of stories or arguments that are, again, in other words, we get ourselves, we twist the tail on the dog and it becomes more and more difficult to live. They've involved us in programs and things that shouldn't exist in America. And we wonder, for instance, they might advocate that your wife goes to work. If she does go to work and you have kids at home and they don't get raised right, then they get into trouble. And the next thing you know, you got the state coming to your door. And you wonder why the state's at your door. And pretty soon the state says they deserve to own the kids rather than you. And you wonder where it started.
Right.
Well, it started when you didn't watch your kids and you went and left your house and they went to the babysitter or to the daycare center. Or they got the lunch at school and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, these things all add up to something which is a headache in the end if it isn't a good program. And we've been sucker punched with a lot of bad programs and welfare, socialism, whatever. You will read the definitions, by the way, of the various political and economic orders that you can live with in a society. And then I have at the end what I suggest is a combination of things which would give you a solution to our present-day problems.
All right. I'll look forward to it.
I hope you enjoy it. Like I say, if you have any questions,
your number's there.
Because I only wrote it 8 pages long because I know how people don't like to read long pieces of work.
It's not that I don't like to. It's that I don't literally have time to do so.
True, true, true.
All right.
I thank you, sir.
Thank you, Greg. I appreciate your call. Dennis in Pennsylvania. Hello, Dennis.
Hello, John. How you doing?
Good, sir.
Okay, I want to state 2 observations I made, and the first one can be verified, and it involves a program that was on ER around last Christmas, all right? And here it was, I'm sitting there watching it, and I see the administrator in the hospital come into the emergency room and state to one of the doctors, "This angel has to go. You know that's against the law. You can't have angels in this room." All right, then it goes to a commercial. They come back. The next scene opens up. The administrator's walking in the emergency room, and you see a menorah sitting on a counter. To me, that's Hollywood. That's Hollywood writers and Hollywood producers shoving it in our face, you know?
Well, and you see how they went after the displays around Christmas time.
Right.
They said, well, we want equal time. So somebody suggested, well, if you want to put up a menorah next to that, fine. But we're not getting rid of the Christian symbology or anything else. We're going to continue to do it. And that caused a maelstrom. You know, and a lot of people miss this, Dennis, that, you know, this didn't start out to be a Jewish nation or an Arab nation or anything else. These were white Europeans, Christians, by and large, that came to this country. And what it's being done for the sake of, by the federal government's rule, that we can't pander to one or the other, so we either have to eliminate it or include all. Well, they're not going to include all. They want to eliminate.
Right.
So, you know, the Christian nation and its principles, what Andrew Jackson said, this republic was founded on the basics and the principles of the Bible. I mean, he said it. He was one of the original dudes.
Right.
So, you know, where are the latter-day re-engineering historians? They don't ever address this stuff. And they try very hard to just diminish what the founding fathers believed, what they wrote about. And, you know, they were all deist, or they were all just slave owners, and they were all bad people. So don't pay attention to these stodgy old white farts.
Right.
Yeah.
I just want to say this is really important. My second observation was at the funeral of John Paul II, and it was about 80% through, and all the leaders of the Eastern churches were, like, at the edge of the casket singing this song, and all of a sudden the camera shifted to Ratzinger standing by himself at the head of the casket off to the right, and they showed him putting up his hand to his nose, kind of, to, like, scratch his nose, and he showed the reverse of the sign of the devil, that Horus horns thing, okay? And then he put his arm down quick, and he looked over at the camera. Did you get it, guys? Well, somebody would say, well, that could have been a coincidence. But I watched the reruns on CNN, and when it came to the rerun of that, they showed his quick his arm coming down. They didn't show the sign.
Sure.
I watched Fox, and I watched MSNBC. All the reruns, they didn't even show it. The only one that showed it again was CNN, what is it, the Congressional Network?
Yes, yeah,
when they did it. And I know that he gave the sign, I'm the guy. And guess what? He went on to be Pope. A false Pope, anyway.
Oh, boy.
You know? But I mean, people didn't pick up on that. And he gave that sign, and I'm telling you this thing about ER, it was so subtle. She made a big deal. You know, the doctor kind of was like a pansy. Well, I think we can put it in here. It's Christmas time. And they made the big argument. She's the authority, the administrator. She said no. They left the whole thing to a commercial, and they come back, and they show a scene. She comes walking in, the menorah's on the counter. It's so subtle.
With no comment.
No comment at
no
all.
Dialogue. Just, there
that's
it
right.
is.
Yeah. Yeah. So I had to tell you that, John.
Okay.
You are definitely one of the best, and for, like, shortwave, or now I'm on the Internet. I mean, you're the stand-up guy through the 90s, now. And you know what it is? You're a teacher, not a preacher. That's the difference.
Well, I appreciate those kind words.
Okay, thank you, John.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And again, another unsolicited comment. Dennis, thank you very much. I appreciate your comments. And last call here, and then I'll get into Bush speak, dark and garbled words, Julius in Arizona. Hello, Julius.
Hello, John.
Yes, sir.
I want to pick up where a fellow left off a couple calls back, where he was talking about the emotional and intellectual level of the average American.
Yeah, I think he said it was around 13, 14 years of age.
Yeah, well, it's all interesting that I got to be good friends with an old talk show host who's since passed away here in southern Arizona. His name was Bert Lee. And that wasn't his real last name. His father was a big wheel at MGM and was based out of New York. And according to Bert, they had FDR over for dinner no less than 100 times over the years when he was governor and later on when he was president. So they were pretty close. You know, they had their political and business associations. He was a young kid, and he was in the White House one day, and Sidney Hillman picked up a copy of his speech, a fireside chat that FDR was going to give on the radio, and Sidney read through the whole thing, and he threw it down, and he looked at FDR, and he said, nobody's going to believe this crap. He says, this is an insult to the American people. They're not going to buy this. And Bert Lee said that FDR looked at Sidney and said, Sidney, you've got to understand you're making a grave mistake if you overestimate the emotional and intellectual age of the American people. And he implied that it was about 11 or 12.
And it's getting worse.
Well, I don't know that it's any worse. But, of course, the problem is our information that we have access to, except for people that really hunt out and pick and choose among, you know, RBN and various sources, most people are in a complete vacuum. And I do what I can to kind of get the word out. I put together a website a while back, and I try to direct friends and people to it. And it's kind of what I call Alex Jones Light, because you can't give somebody the full unedited thing the first time around. You show them a few samples, some of the better shows that Alex has done, you have done. Chris Gerner the other day did one about weather modification, and and I downloaded that off of your site. And, you know, it's like you try to get people in the door a little bit, you know, get them to get a taste of it. And then I always leave the credits in and whatnot so that, you know, if somebody likes the show, then they know where to go looking for it. And it's just my little way of advertising and help expose people to shows like yours and like Chris Gerner and Alex Jones and Robbie Noel when he was with you.
Yeah.
I got to say, I miss Robbie on RBN. I really looked forward to
I do, too. The unfortunate thing was that he was heading up the gold and silver Republic Trading, and he didn't want to work it like it needed to be worked.
So, sure.
You know, I still like Robbie, and I still talk to him from time to time, but it just wasn't working out.
Well, you know, sometimes in business you got to go your separate ways because things aren't quite a fit for you, and that's a part of being – that's a part of growing up. You know, you can't hold it in. You can't be upset about it. Sometimes people click together. Sometimes they don't. It's better if each person goes his own way because that way they're happy, or at least they're pursuing happiness. And,
yep.
We all just do the best we can. But, I challenge you to put one person on that's very controversial. She wrote a book years ago, based on Jungian psychology, and the title of the book is called The Ring of Power, and she was a professor at UC San Diego UC Davis up in Northern California, and her name is Jean Shinoda Bolen, and she'll go into why people get stuck at that level of 11 or 12 or 13.
If you could do me a favor, why don't you email me that with that information?
I'll do that.
All right.
Yeah, now where do I email
it
to, John?
John Statmiller at hotmail.com.
Very good.
All right?
You got it.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, bye.
Bye-bye. By the way, what he was describing, folks, is kind of like the Johnny Appleseed thing. Didn't do a whole lot. Just goes and plants the seed. Gives a little bit of water and moves on. Now, that seed may take root. It may not. But he's planting 1,000 seeds. He's not going to sit around and watch his one seed. I like the concept. Bush speak, dark and garbled words. The following quotes are from Bush's speech about the war on terror, as given October 6, 2005, and largely repeated October 28. It was a speech especially dense with Bush speak, a dialect which never seems or never means what it seems to say. Perspective and occasional translation follows the quotes. And I'm quoting Bush. All these separate images of destruction and suffering that we see on the news can seem like random and isolated acts of madness. Innocent men and women and children have died simply because they boarded the wrong train or worked in the wrong building or checked into the wrong hotel. Yet while the killers choose their victims indiscriminately, their attacks serve a clear and focused ideology, a set of beliefs and goals that are evil but not insane. Now, you might ask how it's possible to choose victims more indiscriminately than by bombing cities. The Pentagon doesn't even attempt to count Iraqis dead, civilian or military. Two serious efforts have been made to count the civilian toll of the barbarism called shock and awe. One, an effort to count bodies all over the country in morgues, hospitals, and other likely places, came up with more than 25,000 killed. Another scientific study of Iraqis' national mortality tables, published in the British medical journal Lancet, came up with about 100,000. Now, what is Bush's understanding of this clear and focused ideology? Bush says, some call this evil Islamic radicalism. Others call it militant jihadism. Still others, Islamofascism. Now, Bush uses these coined by neocon advertising slogans to describe an ideology, but in fact, all they do is attempt to repackage plain old religious extremist. He says, I cannot help wondering how we would distinguish them from Franklin Graham preaching about using nuclear weapons following 9/11, or Pat Robertson speaking about assassinating a democratically elected leader, or crazed preaching of heavily armed American cults. Bush says, we know the vision of radicals because they've openly stated it in videos and audio tapes and letters and declarations and websites. The response, do you believe the audio tapes and videos periodically broadcast any more than you believe the proved fake documentation of Hussein buying uranium in Niger? Are any of these so-called sources any more believable than ridiculous videos CNN broadcast after the invasion of Afghanistan in which dogs were being killed in a secret mountain weapons laboratory run by men wearing sandals? How about spy satellite shots of mobile weapons lab that never existed, evidence solemnly presented by Colin Powell before the UN? Do you even believe Osama bin Laden is alive? Bush has no reason ever to reveal Osama's death, an act which would convert Osama from leader in hiding to martyr. Of course, if you're reading this piece or listening to it, you likely are the wrong kind of person of whom to ask such questions. Bush's words are crafted for people who let CNN do their thinking for them. Bush again. Now they've set their sights on Iraq. Bin Laden has stated the whole world is watching this war and the two adversaries. It's either victory or glory or misery and humiliation. The terrorists regard Iraq as the central front in their war against humanity, and we must recognize Iraq as the central front in our war on terror. Now, Bush follows the dubious quote from Bin Laden with the preposterous conclusion. There were, before Bush's invasion, no terrorists in Iraq. Iraq's secret police hardly afforded a refugee status to terrorists of any other potential conspirators. Moreover, Hussein, the secularist, and Bin Laden, the religious fanatic, are known to have hated each other. Now, post-invasion Iraq is crawling with resistance fighters from many places and every possible description. In other words, in the words of the head of Canada's intelligence service, CSIS, Iraq has become a training ground for thousands who will threaten Western security for years to come. We'll all have Bush to thank for this development. You know, this is what I said earlier. You know, if the terrorism was non-existent before, Bush is in there creating them. Which is going to do what? Justify, oh, that's right, his war on terrorism. Now, the radicals, Bush again, the radicals exploit local conflicts to build a culture of victimization in which someone else is always to blame and violence is always the solution. Now, I can't imagine words that better describe America's reaction to 9/11. About 20 people committed a terrible crime. Instead of going about the business of identifying and trying any others who were responsible, Bush launched two wars he promises to continue for years to come. By the way, this gentleman doesn't say in here the federal government's involvement in this conspiracy to kill, what, 3,000 people. A culture of victimization. America is the world authority on that odd subject. Following 9/11, everything from a giant street signs at donut shops to blinking signs on gas pumps insisted that Americans never forget. There were even sweatshirts being sold in supermarkets and gardening centers. It was all one huge, confused, and dangerous reaction spurred on by an incompetent man at the top muttering about with us or against us. Bush says, and they exploit modern technology to multiply their destructive power. What modern technology? The men who died carrying out 9/11 possessed weapons like box cutters to take over planes. The young men in the London Underground bombing carried backpacks with relatively crude bombs in them. Now, this is just going, obviously, from what the medias are reporting here. Now, I could pick this thing apart and add a lot to it, but for the sake of time here. Bush deliberately confuses the resistance in Iraq with terrorists in other places. The resistance in Iraq now does have some improved technology for attacking American armored vehicles, but why should this surprise anyone? Many of these people have military experience, and they have the resources that were stowed away by Hussein. Besides, everyone learns quickly during the deadly intensity of military conflict. During a few years of World War I, new technologies for killing emerged quickly, including tanks, machine guns, poison gas, and air bombardment. Well, we're out of time here, folks. There's about 8 more pages of this, but I think you've got the idea. It's a television war for people with a mentality of maybe 11, 12, 13, 14-year-olds. That'll do it for us today. We'll be back with you tomorrow with another edition of the Intelligence Report. And I thank you for your kind comments today. We'll see you tomorrow. May God bless.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
no matter how many laws you pass.
Which means?
Which means they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.